this episode of Horrific History and Hauntings. I'm Beth.
And I'm Ramey. We're your hosts here to talk about the stories that the history books ignore.
From horrific epidemics and ghostly hauntings to the catastrophes and tragic events that have sickened humanity.
Indeed. It's been a while, mainly because of my sister's copious amounts of unplanned vacations and stuff such as that.
They were planned. We just didn't mention them.
Well, I didn't even know about them, so... And it's been a month or two now, so apologies.
Hey, I've tried for the past couple of weeks, but you didn't have your shit together.
I'm setting up it's almost set up, but it's actually just in the process of being unpacked. An entire shed to record and do things in. Make stuff, 3D printers, good stuff like that. And so by the time she finally got home from one of her sporadic vacations, I had everything dismantled because I didn't see any reason not to.
Well, speaking of shit, that's our topic of the day.
Yay!
But first, let's get into our Today in History.
Oh my goodness, I nearly forgot it's been so long.
Yes, well, it's actually not today because I thought we were going to record on the 9th, but we didn't, so it's the 9th of August in history.
What happened on the 9th of August in history?
1945, the United States dropped a second atomic bomb in Japan's city of Nagasaki.
Oh, I kind of knew that. I figured you'd have found something else, but okay.
No, not really. After the first bomb was dropped on Hiroshima, Japan's leaders still refused to surrender.
Mm-hmm.
And because of this, the U.S. decided to use the second bomb, which they named the Fat Man.
It was a lot bigger when it came to physical size.
They couldn't have just been polite, the Muscle Man.
Yes, let's be polite.
Body shaming the bomb.
Oh, no.
The original plan was to drop it on August 11th, but bad weather forced them to do it 2 days earlier. So a bomber plane dropped the bomb at 11:02 a.m. It exploded with the force of 22,000 tons of TNT. While the city's surrounding hills helped contain some of the blast, the explosion did end up killing an estimated 60 to 80,000 people.
That's pretty rough.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot of people. The U.S. was prepared for another bomb for a week later, but it was not needed because after the attack on Nagasaki, even though some of Japan's leaders still wanted to fight, the emperor decided that continuing the war would destroy the Japanese people. So it was decided that it was just best for Japan to surrender.
In the long run, they are doing well.
Yeah.
Humongous.
Other than
modern civilization.
The
Fukushima incident.
Yeah, that.
Yeah, that was the best. And they got K cars. I'm so jealous. They banned them in Virginia.
They got what?
K cars. Little bitty trucks and cars.
Okay.
Yeah. Look them up. You would love one. It makes a tracker look big.
Well, I'll try to remember that. Now, on to our main topic. It all started with all the good, normal carnival party type fun for passengers aboard the Carnival Triumph cruise ship.
Oh,
it was departing from Galveston, Texas, and they were heading for Mexico. However, on February 10th, 2013, everything began going to shit. Quite literally, one might say.
Yeah, I've heard the stories.
Ha ha ha. I made a potty joke. So, into the stinky story of the Carnival Triumph. The original plan was a 4-day round trip, 2 days at sea, a stop in Cozumel, Mexico, and then a return to Galveston, Texas on day 4. Passengers were sleeping away in their cabins at about 5:30 in the morning on the 4th day until a loud blaring alarm startled them awake. It turned out that this was the emergency alarm that was going off because a fire had started in the engine room. So the fin of the ship had smoke rolling from it when people were out on deck.
You know how it's blown up on TikTok a lot?
Yeah.
Did anybody ever look to see if it was actually that old video?
I don't know.
I bet it was. There's a lot of times that TikTok people will post old videos and pretend they're new.
Yeah. They really do need to put like a timestamp thing on that for that reason.
Yeah.
Because I've noticed that quite a bit. I always try to report it for fake news.
I don't think they care.
Not fake news, but...
misrepresentation?
Yeah. Misrepresentation. The crew managed to quickly and efficiently extinguish the fire, giving passengers a sense of relief. That is, until the electricity on the ship went out, leaving everyone stranded in the middle of the ocean. Because the ship doesn't move without
the
power.
The party never stops.
The boat stops, but the party actually did stop this time. Without power, the ship doesn't move. And without power, there's also no air conditioning, no ability to cook food, no lights, and no toilets. Because the electricity was the source of power for the toilets to flush. And with roughly 4,000 passengers and crew members on board. It's probably not a pleasant
sounds like time. A recipe for dysentery.
Yeah. There was also no Wi-Fi because no electricity, no Wi-Fi. So these passengers had no service on their cell phones to be able to call their loved ones and say, we're stuck in the middle of the ocean in a shit situation.
What year was this again?
2013, according to the documentary. That's on Netflix. If y'all haven't seen it on all over TikTok, it's the Trainwreck series, and it's called The Poop Cruise.
Mm-hmm. I was on a carnival cruise shortly after, I believe, or shortly before this, one way or the other, on the oldest ship in the carnival fleet, but we had no issues at all.
See, I thought that the one me and Joey took with his family, I thought we were on the Sunshine, but when we were talking about this, they said it was the Sunrise, but I could have swore it was the Sunshine, but I don't know. There's too many suns, so maybe it was the Poop Cruise I was on. On to the story. In an attempt to manage this crappy situation, the crew came up with a plan. Passengers were told to urinate in the showers. I feel like dudes would have had a better... It would have been less of an issue if dudes would just have peed off the balcony.
They had considered letting guests do that. A literal poop deck. I feel... But they also said that their guest is probably going to fall in.
yeah, well, I feel like it would have been easy for dudes, but... Females, however, that probably would have definitely happened to me if I tried to pee off the deck.
Surely they'd have put up curtains or something. Could you imagine just a wall of people?
Have you watched the documentary?
Yeah.
And those three annoying girls.
I love those girls. They're hilarious. They made the best of it regardless.
Well,
I like how everybody was afraid of a bag.
Well, did you see where they were talking about how they had this flashing thing that they got wet on the life jackets, and then it kind of looked like a rave because it was flashing as you were pooping.
Yeah, because there was no lights in the toilets, yeah. Or even the not working toilets.
Yeah.
There was no lights. So
the cabins downstairs, some of them don't even have windows. Like
so there was no light. And no. So other guests was telling you pour soda or something on your life jacket's light, and it will flash. So people were getting around below decks with this strobe light.
So, yeah.
It's like an apocalyptic rave or something, one of them said.
New things to add to your packing list when it comes to a cruise, just in case. A flashlight, some batteries, or a glow crank, sticks or
maybe
something.
A crank flashlight in case you're stuck there for days.
Yeah.
Because a phone...
It's going to die eventually. Yeah.
I mean, if people had just thought to cut off their service and their Wi-Fi, it would have saved their battery a whole lot. Because the whole time they're not connected, it was trying to connect.
Yeah. Peeing in the shower, there you go. Red bags is what you poop in. And then, from what I understood, it was like the food service. You just leave it out in the hall for the poor staff to take care of.
But nobody wanted to use them.
The staff deserved a raise. I'm sorry. After this, they deserved a major raise. I hope they got it.
To be fair, the most of the people on the cruise did not blame the staff.
Oh, no. They actually, in the end...
They were thanking the staff because of what they had to put up with.
In the end, they actually had, like, banners and stuff saying how well the staff handled this situation compared to like what they were having to deal with.
What corporate was doing, which was hiding it until, well, we'll get into that, how the corporate let the...
I didn't go into too much information on that at all, so you can go ahead and... It wasn't until around 1:30 p.m. that the crew were finally able to inspect the fire damage because, you know, it had to cool down. And they discovered that all of the power cables had been destroyed, which made it impossible to restore the electricity. At the time the ship stalled, they were still closest to the port in Mexico. So the little, I guess, emergency satellite telephone thing that the crew or the captain or whoever had called for tugboats to pull the Triumph back to that port in Mexico.
Which was supposed to be the next day, pretty much.
Yes. But that night, the lack of air conditioning made people miserable. And I'm sure it was stuffy. And like I said, some of those didn't have balconies. Those rooms or cabins or whatever didn't have balconies or even... You can't really open the windows, I don't think.
No.
But
unless you're on a balcony.
Yeah, unless you're on a balcony. So those people must have been having a horrible time. But...
They got ingenious ideas about how to fix it.
Yeah. They decided to try to find some... relief from this heat and be able to get some sleep by pulling their mattresses out of their cabins and onto the deck and into the halls. By the fifth day, the tugboats still had not arrived. and a foul odor of human waste had begun to spread out throughout the ship.
That's because they, overnight, the ship had drifted closer to America, which required them to then be pushed to America's coast.
Yeah.
For rescue by the tugboat. So it took it a lot longer.
So there was also no fridge or freezers. So meats and foods like that, they're perishable. They were going to spoil. And there was no way to cook them. And people began to panic. Passengers started spending hours in lines to get whatever food was available.
Hoarding.
And that's exactly what they did. When they finally got to where they could get their food, they piled up. Because, I mean, I can understand if you got to wait hours for your lettuce sandwiches, I think one of them said on the documentary. Lettuce and something else.
A high-fiber diet is the problem here.
Yeah. But you can't eat raw meat. So
don't tell me what I can and can't eat.
Well, I mean, you can, but it's probably not going to make the whole pooping situation better. At around 1:45 p.m., the Carnival Legend, a sister ship, pulled up along the Triumph, and the party did not stop on the Carnival Legend ship.
There was music blasting, people waving and having a party.
Yeah.
And everybody and on the other side looking miserable with like their bags of poop.
And their mattresses.
And their mattresses. Like a shanty town. It was the worst.
The partying continued on the Legend, but that didn't stop them from transporting some of the food that they had to the Triumph, which was nice. Passengers of the Triumph, while this was going down, got the idea that maybe we can pick up some of the Legend's Wi-Fi signal. And some people were successful with this, so they were able to call their loved ones and
explain the situation.
Yeah.
And the loved ones promptly called the news agencies.
Exactly.
Because it wasn't on the news. Carnival had released a statement. What did they call it? A hold stop or something like it? Something just to give out an idea of what's going on without giving out every detail.
Yeah.
And it was basically, we had some mechanical issues on the ship. They're going to be in port just a little bit late. Don't worry, nothing like it. They didn't let out any details about how bad it was. But the people quickly let everyone know once they got a hold of the internet.
We're smothering in shit.
That one mom was furious.
Do you blame her?
No. Her 12-year-old daughter and her husband was out on the cruise.
Imagine the infections that could have happened. Mm-hmm. As far as I know, there weren't problems with infections. And which one is it? Ebola or E. coli?
E. coli.
E. coli. I get those two mixed up all the time.
Ebola is the one that makes you bleed to death, pretty much. It's just like eat you from the inside out. We talked about it that time.
Yeah. I always get it mixed up. But as you mentioned before, the ship during this time had drifted closer to Mobile, Alabama.
Than everybody was looking forward to waking up in Mexico.
Yeah.
And then they woke up and said there's going to be in the middle of the ocean. Four more days, and then they're going to end up in Mobile, Alabama.
Yeah. So, yes, that was another, I think, 3 or 4 days added onto this horrible situation. And it got even worse because the showers began to overflow with the backed up sewage.
Mm-mm, good.
There was human urine coming up from the shower drains. Also, a staff member reported that the toilets were clogged with feces. It was just piling up.
Because nobody, he was a chef, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was a chef.
Yeah.
It was, as he described it, a layered lasagna of feces and toilet paper.
It was, according to him. And I've seen that happen before in toilets that didn't work in like public restrooms or something.
Yeah.
People just, well, when you got to go, you got to go. And it's the only bathroom around. And the staff, you know, I don't think they even had time to run to a bag somewhere.
It was very clear that people were not listening to, as awful as of a situation that is. Y'all made it worse by not using the bags.
They should have used the bags. Yeah, those girls were like, no, we're not using no bag. And one guy was taking Imodium. Was it a woman or a man that was taking Imodium?
I think it was the woman, one of the three women.
One of the three women was taking Imodium. So they said, I was not using a bag. And the man, he finally broke down.
And used a bag.
Had to use a bag. And he went on he's the one that was using the strobe light thing to travel. And he was hunting for a working toilet. And somehow he managed to find one.
Yeah, there was apparently a rumor that there was a working toilet. You know how people get in situations like this.
I thought he was
like
on a treasure
this.
Hunt just out of desperation. But no, he found it apparently.
Oh. To try and improve the whole situation, the crew thought it would have been a good idea to offer free alcohol to the guests and open the bars back. I'm not sure why they thought this was a good idea, considering free liquor would lead to people over drinking, which leads to vomiting, even more waste. And also, I don't know about y'all, but if I drink too much, I get liquor shits the next day.
Oh, God.
So I feel like I'm not the only one that has that.
I've heard them called the beer runs. But anyway, it couldn't have helped the situation.
Yeah, no.
It might have gave some temporary relief until people got too inebriated.
Well, that's exactly what happened. Apparently, fights were breaking out, and it turned into more chaos. And I think one of them said people started flinging the red bags everywhere.
Oh, no.
If I'm not mistaken.
I might have heard it, too. I was late when I watched it.
At around 3 p.m., the tugboats finally arrived.
Woohoo!
And, of course, guests were like, yes, finally, going to land, getting off this ship of shit. But it got even worse.
Storm.
As the tugboats began pulling the Triumph, the ship tilted and leaned, and the weather, also turning bad, did not help the leaning and tilting.
And the alcohol.
Well, I think they closed the bars down after that one night.
Oh, no.
This caused the already overflowing showers and toilets to spill out onto the floors.
The cook said that he got out of his bunk and stepped into ankle-deep poop.
Yep.
And he didn't know what he was in because it was dark.
Yeah. And so, I think one of them said that there was urine and feces in the cafeteria floor.
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, there's a lot of drains in a cafeteria.
Yeah. At about 9:30 p.m. on the seventh night, 7 days. Well, I guess three or four more of those days was when the power went out.
Yeah.
But on the seventh night, the ship was finally pulled into port in Mobile, Alabama.
People were thrilled.
And the passengers were released from their horrific human waste hell on the sea.
NBC was the one that got the, or was it CBC? NBC was the one that got the story, right? They said.
I don't remember.
I think it was. She said, we seen it first get announced. And we was like, nah, it ain't important. And the next day when they got the news about what was really going on, she said, then we had a story.
Yeah. And then the media helicopters, I think before this.
Yeah, they knew they were getting close to land because the media helicopters started showing up to record the shanty.
Yeah. And people were
like spelling out help
with their own bodies by laying down on the deck. Like, to be fair, I'm not a team player. I probably would have been doing the same thing, though, in this situation.
Yeah. This
help me.
Yeah.
There's poop everywhere.
They got a decent refund, if not more than they paid, and they got a free cruise in the future.
I think I would have not accepted the
cruise. Then there was a lawyer, and you could tell he's made some money sometime along his life.
Yes. Attorney Frank Spagnoletti, I believe is how that is pronounced.
He was sitting there puffing on a cigar.
Yeah. He was following the story of this shit cruise.
And seen money signs of fly.
Yes, he most certainly did. So he decided to do some.
He was a maritime lawyer, wasn't he? Is that what they called him?
I don't know. I just know he was a lawyer.
Yeah, I think he had to do with the sea.
Yeah. Well, he decided to do some of his own research on the Carnival Company. And he discovered that the fire on the Triumph was actually preventable if Carnival had cared more about maintenance.
That happened many times on different ships of the same design. Yes, kind of like the Chernobyl incident. It was just a waiting to happen.
Yeah, he also found a history of prior fire incidents and other problems with Carnival before this specific situation.
I would love to have seen him just waiting as they were getting off the ship with cards. Here you go.
If you want to sue, come to me. Holding the big sign.
He's sitting there like under a canopy of his cigar. It's like a mahogany chair.
Carnival's legal team pointed to the fine print in their ticket contract when threats of lawsuits came out. They claimed that by purchasing a ticket, passengers had forfeited the right to sue, as the contract stated, in quotes, "There is absolutely no guarantee for safety, for safe passage, and a seaworthy vessel." Adequate and wholesome food and sanitary and safe living conditions.
He said, what was it the lawyer said?
I don't think they would be buying their ticket if they knew this.
It's just a lovely lawsuit waiting to happen.
Exactly. Like, no, if I would have known that, I would have never bought a ticket. I didn't buy any tickets, to be fair, but I feel like many people would not have bought a ticket.
I'll be honest. All the cruises I've been on have been on Carnival, and I have not had this kind of incident happened, and they upgraded. They spent millions, if not more, upgrading the fleet afterwards.
Yeah. Frank's cases were settled. Carnival spent $115 million to clean, repair, and refit the Triumph, which is
been renamed, which
been renamed the Carnival Sunrise. The company did provide full refunds. They covered transportation expenses, and they gave each passenger a $500 payment and the offer of a free cruise.
Plus whatever they got settled out for the ones who joined the lawsuit with, yeah. with what's his name?
Yeah. I didn't find the...
They won't let that name be known what that was.
I don't know what they paid out for that.
I'd imagine it was copious. They're doing well.
Yeah. Also, they decided to change the terms of the agreement during the ticket purchases. They removed the whole...
We don't guarantee a seaworthy vessel.
Yeah, that whole quote I just said, they got rid of it.
Oh, man.
And one source that I found online also stated that the company had since installed backup generators to the ships, and they placed them away from the main power source to prevent a complete power loss in the event of another fire situation like that.
Yeah. The man and the daughter who go on, now they still go on cruises because it was their first cruise.
They just don't go on Carnival.
They go on, they go on other cruises. I think Disney is one of them.
Yeah. I mean, Royal also has some, there's a documentary that is also going around on Netflix, Amy something, the woman who disappeared on one of the Royal cruises. I might do that one day in the future. I really don't know. We'll see. But that's the end of our poop episode.
I think I need better airflow in the building.
Yeah.
I'm getting a little warm in here.
A little bit.
I know what I need. I need a ceiling fan. Blow the air down. I know you guys aren't listening and hearing this and thinking, oh, yay, exciting. But you have no idea how hot it is now. We've been in here for a little while. I got in here, it was 70 degrees. A nice, comfortable 70 degrees. And now two people have made this building extremely hot.
Yeah.
I like this. I'm the one that told you about this, aren't I?
I mean, I had already watched the documentary, but you mentioned it.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good hydro episode. Perfect.
Yeah, but I didn't put it as a hydro hill escape because that's our next one that we're doing today.
If we could take the heat.
I'll be all right. It shouldn't take too long.
We, for sure, I wanted to do this because we have both been on Carnival cruises. I particularly went pretty much right after or right before this happened. I'm pretty sure I went right after this happened. Yeah, I went right after this happened because I remember saying, don't worry. They were on a newer ship, and I'm on the oldest one in the fleet. Nothing can go wrong. I've had good times with Carnival, but clearly they had to do some work to get to that point. My favorite character, though, was probably the lawyer.
Yeah.
I mean, you could tell he came out on top of this lawsuit. Okay. Well, if you like what you heard here, and it's nice to be back, even if I am burning up right now. If you like what you heard here, we have a whole plethora of media, part of the Gruesome Gaming Group podcast network. We have YouTube and TikTok and Facebook group, so many things. There'll be a Linktree link in the description. It will have all that in there. There's a YouTube shop, or not a YouTube, an eBay shop where we sell odds and ends. Not really merch yet, but that's part of the building. The building's going to have merch. Or not the building. It's going to be where I make merch. But that will come a little bit later. Right now, there's just odds and ends for sale in the eBay shop. That's because I need to get it running. Beth has a Pinterest, I believe. It's all in the link tree. Check it out. And below the link tree, there's an option to send a donation if you like. A tip, I guess. We appreciate it if you do that. It helps keep the podcast hosted. Even while we were on hiatus, I was still paying the hosting fees because I'm nice like that. What kind of release schedule are we looking at now, by the way? Let's just do every other week for one more month, and then we can go to a weekly basis. That way we have some backlogs.
Sounds good.
Okay, every other week for another month or so, and then we'll go to weekly again because we want some backlog so this long period of nothing coming out don't happen again.
Yeah.
Beth just can't stop going on these vacations. Anyway, thank you for listening. I've been Ramey.
And I'm Beth.
This has been HH&H. Bye-bye.